Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herney deal. Chris Herney joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's, of course, Speak Now by Taylor Swift for the Memphis Grizzlies, who will be speaking soon, if not quite now.
We did have the news that Brad Bunny's going to be the Super Bowl halftime show. What do you think?
I'm aware of Bad Bunny. I would recognize him if he came down and sat next to me, but I wouldn't recognize one of his songs if one of his songs came in and sat next to me.
So. It would be so interesting if today Bad Bunny comes in and sits next to you. That'll be a twist on media day that I do not expect.
Never do.
All right, so we did get an injury report in advance of – you've been telling us we would get an injury report in advance of media day, and we did. Let's take them one at a time. Cedric Coward is going to be full go. That's good, and I guess that is to be expected. But let's go – so let's go to Zach Edey. Zach Edey has been cleared to begin ramping up basketball activities. He is expected to return to play in 6 to 9 weeks. Your thoughts?
Well, we knew Edey had a pretty serious surgery, and we knew he was going to miss the start of the season. So these things were already baked in. I think that report is about as good as could be expected based on what we already knew. It's not a guarantee that after the first checkup, he would be cleared to start the ramp-up process. Like, that doesn't necessarily always happen. That didn't happen with Jaren a few years ago when he had an injury and he was expected to be back at a certain point, and they checked on it, and they said, well, we're going to check on it again after a little while longer. I mean, that happened with Vince Williams last year. And so that he's been cleared to ramp up is a positive thing. And that target that they're putting there, which is would put him somewhere, you know, within the month of November probably.
Yeah.
Is, I think, better than could have been expected. If you had told me Christmas, I would have said, maybe I'll take that. I don't know. Like, because I think there is a downside to an injury, a surgery like that with a guy that big. And we still don't know how he's going to come back from it. But I think that was a generally positive report based on the bad news we already had.
Yeah, probably better than I expected and might see him in November. So that's good. Jaren Jackson Jr., who underwent a procedure to repair a turf toe injury in his right foot on July 2nd, has been cleared to begin ramping up basketball activities. He is expected to return to play in 4 to 6 weeks. Your thoughts?
So that'd be somewhere between ready to go opening night or, you know, 2 weeks into the season. That's not a big deal either way, but given the other injuries in the front court, it sort of is a little bit. I have no info beyond, like, what's public, but my sense has always been the Jaren thing wasn't like a big deal, and to the degree that like I think it was a surprise that it was something that, you know, that needed surgery. Like, I don't know if he'll say this today. I don't know if this is even true, but it seems like the kind of thing that if it had happened in the middle of the season, he just would have played with it. I mean, Bane did that. Bane played with that kind of turf toe thing and then got the procedure done during the summer. It just so happened that the injury happened with Jaren at the beginning of the summer, so that's pretty good timing if it's going to happen at all. So I think there's a good chance Jaren will be back from the start of the season.
All right. And then the one that was less promising, Brandon Clark has fully healed from a high-grade right PCL sprain that was sustained on March 19th. However, in connection with recent off-season training, he has experienced right knee synovitis, which will require an arthroscopic procedure to address. His return to play timeline will be announced following the procedure, but a full recovery is expected.
Yeah, people used to complain that the Grizzlies like didn't give information, and now like that's highly specific information, both in terms of the injury and in terms of the timetable for return. I wasn't even listening to you because I'd already seen the report, but maybe I think there was more that came out from Shams beyond in terms of timetable than what they had put out. But to me, the only outstanding question there is like this injury situation is not the same thing as the PCL thing he had recovered from, but are they truly unrelated? Like that seems, you know, maybe it's just it's a rehab thing. You know, you rehab so hard that you create another problem. I just think that with Brandon Clark, we've reached the point, and I wrote this, you know, in my training camp preview a few days ago, that his availability is sort of always in question. He's a good player when he plays, but his availability and ability to handle minutes is always in question. And you wonder at what point, given the accumulation of injury, that it impacts not only his availability, but his ability when he does play. And that'll be something we'll find out later in the season. But missing Clark for the first, you know, month and a half or more, alongside Edie missing the first month, really, I think, puts the Grizzlies in a bad spot. And it really brings up a point I've been making, you know, I've probably been over making all summer about the roster balance, the roster imbalance, rather.
That they should have gone and gotten another big. Yeah, you said that. Who was you didn't have a debt against, what was the signing that you particularly wondered about?
Well, I just didn't understand the rush to put Cam Spencer on the roster when you're already wondering if Vince Williams and John Conchar are going to get on the floor. You know, when you look at the roster imbalance and then you have Javon Small, you know, coming up behind them and all this, it's just, they have a small roster across the board. And when you take Zach Edey and Brandon Clark out of it, that makes it even more so.
All right. So who do we have at bigs then? Who do we have? Let's assume all three of those dudes are missing game one.
Yeah, then I think you're probably starting Santi Aldama and Jock Landale, and then you're really piecing it together behind them. And even if Jaren plays, you're still doing some piecing because you're probably not going to soak up all 96 minutes with Jaren, Santi, and Landale, although you could, but I just don't think that's the way they want to play. And so you're really looking at, you know, it's an opportunity for Gigi Jackson, you know, to get minutes at the four. I think they made a point of putting two guys on two-way contracts who they think are capable of giving them, you know, minutes when they need it in a pinch. They're going to need it in a pinch in PJ Hall and Omax Prosper, which give two guys who give different looks in terms of a front court. And, you know, you can always scale down. I mean, the two guys I mentioned a minute ago that I wonder how they're going to get on the floor, the Vince Williams, John Conchar, those happen to be the two best perimeter rebounders on the team, on a team that needs rebounding help. And so that's one way you may want to get one or both of those guys some minutes.
Yeah, I was wondering whether it does present an opportunity for Gigi, and one that we hadn't necessarily foreseen would be there for him, but he certainly, you know, can get minutes there. So Zach Kleiman's going to talk here shortly at 11. The injury news was the biggest expected news of the day, and we sort of, as you pointed out, they got that out of the way early. I'm sure there'll be some clarification or further discussion about it, and we'll hear from Jaren about how he feels and whatnot. Other things that you expect to emerge or things you're interested in hearing about, particularly today?
I was trying to brainstorm this morning about, you know, questions I might ask or things, stuff of that nature. One of the frustrations for me, like, this is not a one-on-one conversation.
Right.
It's a whole room full of people. Let me pass the mic around.
You get one question.
And what happens a lot of the time is like someone before me will ask generally the question I wanted to ask, but not quite as specifically or not quite the way I wanted to ask it. And I feel like there's like stuff potentially on the table, but I don't want to come back and just re-ask the same question with a slight change. And like, so we'll see. But I'm interested in a big, from Kleiman, I'm interested in, you know, he basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, this is not his exact language, but he basically said after the Bane trade that they're looking to reshape the roster around Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. It's not a rebuild, it's a reshape. But he also sort of acknowledged that that's not an instant thing. Like, it's like, okay, we're reshaped. Like, it's a process that might take some time. And so what I really, this to me is the overarching question for the Grizzlies, but I want his perspective on it. What are the benchmarks or results this season that communicate to him that the plan is still an active plan and doesn't need to be rethought. And I don't, you know, so that's sort of my main thing with him, probably.
I also wonder what the, like, how the injury stuff fixes. I mean, it sort of dovetails with this is a process, right? I mean, injuries will always happen, but one can't expect some immediate. I mean, I don't know. It feels like a step back in many ways, a step back, whatever. And then it is exacerbated by the fact that these injuries are happening early on as well. So I don't know. Ja, I don't know. It's always interesting to hear from Ja. We got Drew Hill wrote a piece about his summer over the weekend.
Like three or four pieces.
Three or four pieces. I would urge people to read about Ja's extraordinary summer over the weekend. It's funny. One of the pieces concluded by saying, you know, we don't want to say he's back, but that is kind of it. Like, I mean, it is kind of he's back. He's still here. You're looking for a compelling American star. Here he is. He's back. It's a little bit of another version of what we had last year.
Yeah, and like nothing's going to happen to him sitting at a media table answering questions is going to confirm that. And so I actually, when I was going through thinking of all the people who are going to talk and what I'm interested in hearing from them, the two guys I had the most difficulty coming up with ideas for were the two biggest stars on the team, which is Ja and Jared. Yeah. I think Ja just doesn't like talk to the media anymore, so I don't expect him to be that forthcoming about stuff. And even if he is, like, what is he going to say that matters?
Is he going to say he's not going to get injured in the 15th game?
Is when the games start.
Yep. Yeah, you know? And Jaron, I guess the same thing. So who are you interested in hearing from? Ty Jerome?
Well, we got new guys, you know.
Yeah, we got new guys.
Ty Jerome has not spoken in a public setting like this as a member of the Memphis Grizzlies. Neither is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Less interesting, but, you know, neither is Jock Landale. So there's three of those. With Ty Jerome, like, he had options. There wasn't a lot of reporting about the specific options, but he definitely had other options in free agency. So, like, what's attractive to you about the Grizzlies situation? That's an obvious thing with him. You know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I was traded here. He didn't choose to come here, but I'm interested in his perspective on coming here and you know, his attitude about it and his expectations. So those are obvious guys we'll be interested in hearing from, or Ty Jerome and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
All right. Chris, we'll be reading your stuff. Thanks very much. We got to take a break. We will talk to you again tomorrow.
All right,
Jeffrey, we got to take a break. Back in a moment. It is the Jeff Calkins Show. Again, we'll have full coverage from Media Day throughout the day here. We'll take a break. Back in a moment, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. I've been telling you about Ragin' Cajun. Ragin' Cajun is, of course, the new Cajun place in Bartlett's. Unbelievably good. It's just got a great vibe, honestly. It's got a great vibe. Great seating, great food, great atmosphere, neighborhood place. And I was thrilled to see it recognized in its first year of existence in the Best of Memphis contest over at the Memphis Flyer. Mason Jambon is the person who dreamt up Ragin' Cajun. He's from New Orleans and wanted a place that reminded him of the places, neighborhood places in New Orleans. And so that's what he came up with. We went out there, a sausage and cheese plate. You know, it's one of these deals. I'm not a guy who always takes pictures of my food, but I did this. And people were suitably impressed, I'll say. The sausage and cheese plate, among the things that was absolutely dazzling. Went ahead and got the po' boy, of course, got the white chocolate bread pudding. I can't recommend it more highly. And now that we're well into fall, it's going to be, you can sit outside, have a relaxed time, maybe a beverage and a roast beef po' boy or a andouille sausage po' boy, or go crazy and get the Houdat catfish, fried catfish filet topped with crawfish etouffee. It is Raging Cajun, 2740 Bartlett Road in Bartlett, of course. You can check them out online at Cajun901.com. Before we get to the NFL now, Jeffrey, we've been very busy today. We haven't had a lot of time to talk about anything because that was the problem with the weekend. Too much happened. It's just too much happened. But so we haven't talked a lot about a couple things that I wanted to touch on before we get to the NFL. One, of course, is the Ryder Cup. What's your takeaway?
I think you kind of have to start first and foremost. They're not going to win many Ryder Cups if your number one player goes 1-4. And I'm not saying this is all entirely on Scottie Scheffler, but the math just really stops working when your best player goes 1-4.
So there's a guy who, you know, acclaimed as unequivocally the best player in the world.
Yes.
Is this a ding on a resume? You know, during the summer we had all these... here's how he compares to Tiger. Here's how his stretch of dominance compared to Tiger's stretch of dominance. And now you get this, comes up empty.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger's Ryder Cup records, 13-21-1. I did find myself wondering if maybe he has the same problem that Tiger does, in which both of their superpowers were not really hitting poor shots. I mean, Tiger was a little erratic off the tee, but once it came time with the irons and whatnot, you hit the fat side of the greens, you never screw up, and when you see the Ryder Cup format, it's like it becomes kind of a birdie fest, and that's not really Scotty's game. Scotty's game is when the tournament's the hardest and the pressure's the deepest, he just doesn't screw up. And so I did kind of find myself wondering, like, is it a Maybe format just, that doesn't like
doesn't
fit
suit
in?
Him. Okay. A couple other things about the Ryder Cup. Do you think the crowd cross the line?
It's tough. I'm going to kind of take the word for everyone. I think to me the biggest deal was when you saw the Americans trying to
calm them down.
Yeah, it probably tells you
it seemed to me like, honestly, like, it's one of these things that, okay, we hear it's rowdy, it's going to be rowdy, and so we have to live up to the rowdiness. It unleashes everybody to be their most vile, their most profane, their most personal, and honestly, that's not that appealing. Like, it's one thing to go crazy, right? It is another thing to throw a beer at Rory's wife, you know? Like, it is another, like, the Heather McMahon, who I'd never heard of, but is a comedian, evidently a comic, and she was the MC at the first tee, and she is leading F.U. Rory. Like, what is charming about F.U. Rory led by an official?
Yeah, I couldn't tell if she started it or if it was going and then she was like
joined in,
like telling everybody, all right, let's get into that. I mean, that is kind of the problem when you do the Ryder Cup and you want it to be this big ticketed event and you're trying to make all this money, so you're trying to appeal to casual fans and whatnot. Like, I'm with you. Like, I don't, a lot of the stuff that said, I go in and out, but to your point, when you start throwing beers and stuff, like, there's not any place for that in any sport.
It just seems like the rowdy Ryder Cup thing has somewhat jumped the shark.
Yeah, you know? I would definitely agree with you on that.
And then finally, there's been a lot of talk in the wake of it that Victor Hovland obviously couldn't go. And so the rules are, when that happens, he doesn't forfeit. Instead, the U.S. had a player identified who
would, correct,
and they have it, right? And there has been some talk that that's a BS rule, like that when you start and without hitting a single golf shot, the Europeans are up to 12.
Correct. So they just needed two more points.
Like, that is something. Now, there have been past Ryder Cups where that has benefited the Americans.
Yes.
So is that a rule that should change?
I think so, simply because from the fact of, hey, you can't play. Like, we all know the rules. You can't play, you forfeit. I'm with you in the sense that because it's not like this caught anyone by surprise, this has happened before, we've had this result, but I just think it's wildly unsatisfying. And even if they want to do
it also can be strategic. Like, sure. It can be, like, I guess everyone will be honorable, but you have this kind of, like, if you can just, well, we're going to, fewer chances for us to, for a team that's way behind to catch up.
Correct. And to me, the bigger deal is, okay, there are workarounds around this. Like, name an
alternate.
Name an assistant captain that could be a player. And in the event that this happens, he goes from assistant captain to whatnot. But I was kind of hoping that it finished either 14.5, 13.5, or 14-14, simply because I've never liked the rule. Even when it's benefited Americans, I've never liked the rule. Like, either you can play or you can't.
All right. And baseball, we haven't talked a lot about, but this weekend was ridiculous. And this week will be ridiculous, by the way, too. Like, it's not
just an awesome week.
Baseball, I don't see how it could end up. Like, I have felt for the Tigers throughout this. I don't see how you could have it be more perfect than Guardians Tigers in the wild card. And meanwhile, we also get Yankees Red Sox.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. This is a feast.
No, baseball's actually had quite the last couple of years. Like, the playoffs are always outstanding, but now they have it set up to where the brands that you want are there. They have exciting names. You have the guys that have been the stories of the season. Like, Otani's going to be in it. Cal Raleigh's going to be in it. Like, the names that you've kind of been trying to build, like, you have them, and they're meaningful, and you've had the storylines all along.
And then you've got the Mets. It felt like Detroit would be the biggest flop, obviously, by making it. At least they averted that indignity. But the Mets, with their $340 million payroll, gone fishing.
Yeah, and, like, to me, there is kind of something wildly satisfying where it's just like, okay, you can't just buy your way in, but you and I have talked about it. You kind of can, though.
You kind of can.
The Dodgers.
Here's, like, the truth is, if you were in the bottom third of payroll, yeah. Are any of these teams bottom third of payroll? Maybe Reds? Who's bottom third of payroll?
Reds, maybe. Let me check.
Certainly not the Cubs, certainly not the Padres, certainly not the Dodgers, not the Yankees, not the Red Sox. I don't know where the Guardians and Tigers are. But I bet not bottom third. So the way that it works is that, no, you can't.
The only team that I'm seeing right now in the playoffs that's bottom third is Cleveland, and then Cincinnati's at 19th.
Okay,
so they're just like one outside the bottom third.
All right, let's. We haven't talked about the NFL at all. Let's do that by doing Believe It or Not.
Now it's time for Believe It. Or not on the Jeff Calkins Show.
We'll start with this one. You're pumped for Bad Bunny at the halftime, as the halftime show.
Believe it or not.
I mean, Jeff, anytime you can get a WWE superstar at the Super Bowl halftime show, I have to be in. Can I name one of Bad Bunny's songs? No, I cannot. Do I at least know who he is? I do. I know him from professional wrestling, not from.
I don't think this is going to be path-breaking news that to the listeners that I'm no longer in the sweet spot of this
he's not filling up your iPod
of this so much for me now. The halftime show is my introduction to these largely. I certainly have heard of Bad Bunny. I've seen him on SNL,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, yep. I'll say this: Bad Bunny is not Taylor Swift.
No, I think that is a fact, and it sounded like she was open to it, and then the deal never really matriculated.
Well, there you go. I'll watch with interest.
He is a showman. I will give him
with
that.
Interest. And so there you go. Okay, the Ravens are toast.
Believe it or not.
I'm gonna say I don't believe it, for the simple reason of when you and I went through their schedule last year or last week, we went through the remainder of the schedule. They still have the opportunity to bounce back. You look at the rest of the division, it's there for the taking. Now, the question is like,
yeah, when we went through the schedule, Lamar Jackson didn't have a hammy.
Correct. I also think Lamar might have had the I'm down 17 hammy.
It could have been the down 17.
And hammy. I'm getting hit more than I'm used to getting hit.
They get routed, man. 37-20 by the Chiefs, and the defense is just pathetic. I mean, like, it is funny how reputations. One of our listeners keeps. He writes me often and says they think they have the old Ravens defense. They don't.
No, I've been saying this all. I said this all last week that I don't understand this idea that everyone thinks their roster's incredible. It's like, watch their defense. Like, I guess we just assume because they're jerseys that they're going to be a dominant defense. They can't stop anybody.
They got the Texans and the Rams next at home.
So the Texans will be great for your struggling defense, although I'm not sure that defense can really stop much because they're getting thrown on.
What it may be great for is the Texans offense.
Yes.
I think you have put your finger on it, though. The best reason, there are two reasons to believe that they are not toast. One is their schedule softens up considerably. Two is Lamar Jackson, three reasons. Lamar Jackson may have the down 17 hammy. And thirdly, that division is a mess,
honestly.
Like, the Steelers obviously have a two-game lead on them now, but are you terrified of the Steelers?
No.
Did you get up early?
Yeah, well, so we went to church.
That's too bad when church has to cut into it.
Or maybe the game had to cut into church. I don't Let's just say this. The phone was open.
You did not.
Oh, yeah.
You're sitting there at Hope Church.
Oh, yeah.
And you have the phone. You're watching the game?
Yeah.
How do you do it? Do you hide it in a hymnal? Where do you, how do you have,
Jeff, we're not a big hymnal crowd.
What's it?
That's kind of our thing, yeah, is that, like, same. Before. No,
well, okay, so when you do a song, there is singing, there is music.
There is.
But the words projected on a screen? Where are the words?
You
got sheets?
It's definitely a rock concert.
But if you want to sing along,
it's on the screens.
Oh, it's on a screen.
Yeah.
Okay, it's on a screen.
So I'd say it's a good old fashioned Presbyterian crowd, very passive in the singing.
I didn't know. No. I think Presbyterian. My flavor of Presbyterians sing hymns. We sing hymns and we sing out at least I sing out the.
Identifying something
they,
there.
They don't give you sheets though. It's on a screen.
Correct.
Okay, so you don't have a hymnal to hide it in.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the phone?
You're making the mistake of believing I have shame.
Someone is literally sitting next. Someone besides Aaliyah is sitting next to you.
My mother.
And are they shielding you from the other people?
No, they're singing. Who cares?
Oh my God! You really watched the game?
I didn't watch all of it, but yes, the game was opened at multiple times.
That's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs are back.
Believe it or not.
I think so, right?
I never believed they went away.
Granted, like, there is that kind of the question of how much of this is the Chiefs are back versus everybody scoring on the Ravens defense. But to me, they looked very different yesterday. And it, simply all it was adding Worthy back.
Adding Worthy back. It makes a vast difference. When you have no one who can stretch the field, and then you're going to add Rashee Rice on top of it, it makes a vast difference. It's why when my brother asked me, he said, who we should be rooting for here. And I said, just root for the Ravens. Until the Chiefs are dead, 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 you got to root for the Ravens. And the Chiefs were Worthy back, and Rashee Rice is going to be back. Yeah, I'll believe they're dead. When I see it. I don't think they went away, I guess is what I would say. And so much depends on the truth of the matter is Mahomes didn't have to scramble a lot yesterday.
Difference
between the early.
Well, and also just in general, like they go hand in hand, but he just had time to throw. He was able to they don't throw it down the field anymore. It's like, well, a lot of that's because they haven't been able to protect him, so he's just having to get the ball out of his hand immediately. Yesterday he had time, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, they can still make plays down the field.
Jackson Dart is the future.
Believe it or not.
The future of the Giants, I believe that.
Let me rephrase it.
Do I think he's going to change football?
Jackson Dart is him.
Believe it or not.
For me. I got to watch a game that I don't think
is qualified for me.
Correct.
Jackson Dart is, let me rephrase that, is going to make Pro Bowls for the Giants.
Believe it or not.
I do believe that because, it's not that hard to win Pro Bowls.
I know, but still, you got to be credible starter.
Yeah.
You got to be a credible starter.
Well, Tyler Huntley made a Pro Bowl.
Okay.
You got to be on a good team.
All right. Jackson Hart will be a here you go. Jackson Hart will be a top 10 quarterback for the Giants.
Believe it or not.
I keep rephrasing this. I keep having to workshop this one.
So I think I believe this. Here are my concerns, and it's the concerns that I've had with him for a very, very long time. Jeff, he doesn't get down. And
they learned that.
I don't know. I've watched him since he was a sophomore.
He's going to learn that.
I mean, they're calling quarterback draw, quarterback counter, he was getting filleted. And it was even nice for the Ole Miss fans out there. Even at a touching moment, it probably brought a tear to your eye. Jackson gets popped on a quarterback run, has to go to the blue tent, beats the concussion test, and then comes back onto the field like two plays later. I think most Ole Miss fans saw that for multiple times over the last 3 or 4 years. But the thing that was so obvious, Jeff, is the like, they had a chance to move the ball.
Well, it was just fun, honestly. Like, as soon as he checks in, there's this enormous
buzz,
roar. The buzz.
Everything.
Like, there is a roar. I was actually listening on the radio.
Yep.
I was driving back from Arkansas, where I did a 50-mile bike ride over the weekend. And you could we're driving back, and it's like, Jackson Dart checks in the first series, and there's this roar. And then immediately, and ending up with the touchdown run, I mean, it could not script any better. Now, you could script it where you didn't have Malik Nabers going out.
Correct.
With what looks to be an ACL. That is a hell of a blow. You want to just enjoy. And it's not like if you lost your best defensive player, right?
Dexter.
Okay. Fowler.
If
Dexter Lawrence, if you lost Dexter Lawrence with an ACL, and I don't mean to be wishing anything on the Lawrence family, but if you lost him, it would be a blow, but it wouldn't be a blow that is also related to Jackson Dart. You know what I mean?
Correct.
The problem with this injury isn't just that it's a blow. He's an electrifying player. He enables Jackson Dart, which is really the key to the rest of the season, figuring out what he is, whether he's the future, whether he's him, whether he's going to make Pro Bowls, whether he's going to be a top 10 quarterback. Malik Nabers lets you see that. We were just talking about Xavier Worthy and what he does for Mahomes. Well, Malik Nabers is a much better player than Xavier Worthy, and so that is the part that was depressing to me.
Well, and to your other point about Dexter Lawrence, like, yes, I don't want Dexter to go down, but if Dexter goes down, there are other options on the defensive line that are good. It's like if Malik goes down, there's just nothing out there. Like, they have no other credible threat. I mean,
and so then what you actually have more of is Jackson Dart running around,
correct,
and getting
flayed. I mean, I guess it's more Scataboo. I mean, the other thing that has been nice is
that was like fun too.
The quarterback run game with him allows him to run against really favorable looks. But no, I mean, as soon as he went up, I knew exactly what had happened. Like, he went up and he went down. It's like, well, it was fun while it lasted.
Dallas Green Bay, highly unsatisfying.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Believe it or not.
So, oh God, it was weird at the end where they, you know, they normally speak to the victorious team and they interview them on the field and they're having to interview both teams. That's weird. I don't know. I kind of wildly thought it was satisfying. Like,
no, I didn't find it unsatisfying at all, honestly. Now, I didn't find it unsatisfying at all. It was kind of, and you have to say, it may have been a tie, but it was a win for the Cowboys.
Oh, it was definitely the Cowboys won the tie.
Cowboys win 40-40.
Was it just me or I felt like, I'm not sure Jordan Love ever knew the overtime rules. I felt like even the coaching staff for the Packers didn't find out until about halfway through that drive. Hey guys, there's not any time after this. Like you have to get it done now. Cause like you could tell like there was a sense of urgency. I don't know if that message ever got radioed to Jordan Love because he definitely was taking his sweet time at the end.
And for Green Bay, this is 2 weeks in a row where they collapse down the stretch. They got a lead. They can't hold it.
Yeah, this one was a little bit different than last week. Last week, they had like a 10-point lead basically with minutes left. This one, they gave up the lead, and then they never really like took control of the game. They were chasing a lot of the second half.
George Pickens, terrific.
Phenomenal.
And Dak, phenomenal.
Dak was awesome.
Dak was phenomenal. Night. And they did not, in fact, despite the way the game ended, they didn't pressure him.
No.
Like this, the reasons this was a win, this tie was a win for Dallas, is, well, first of all, they were underdogs.
Correct. And they were down 13-0, and it looks like it's going to be 14-0. You're like, oh boy, the route is on.
So it was not at all the embarrassment that you would have expected. Dak looked great. George Pickens was unbelievable. No CeeDee Lamb. George Pickens was unbelievable. And you didn't look like an idiot for making the trade. Like even with Micah, and it's weird because at the beginning, the way the season started, you're like, oh my God, this is going to be one of the best pass rushes we've ever seen. And the pressure wasn't the problem. The problem was Dallas's defense once again.
And Micah was banged up a decent amount. Like they were checking out his back, I think, and whatnot.
That's
so
consistent with what they were. Exactly.
I'm still not ruling out that part of this is some type of show and dance in which Jerry saw the medicals
this
and he's like,
this was another Dallas team getting rid of someone because they didn't think he would be a superstar for long.
Healthy.
Right.
They're worried about a back. But in the end, they made sure he got paid.
The two best teams in the league are the two undefeated teams in the league.
Believe it or not.
I think so. I believe that because I know Aaliyah was freaking out the whole game, blaming me for saying that I think they're going to beat the Saints.
I want to say, by the way, like I don't do wagering particularly, and I don't give betting advice.
But when you see double-digit dogs in the Bills.
The last 2 weeks, I have told you to take the points against the Bills.
If you're getting two touchdowns against the Bills, take it.
And you have gotten rich if you're paying attention to me with the Bills. The problem with the Bills is, let's just see, how many wins between these teams, Jeffrey? The Ravens.
One.
The Jets.
None.
The Dolphins.
None.
The Saints.
None.
How many wins total have the Bills' opponents accumulated?
That would be one, Jeff.
Now they're going to get another night, we presume.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Tonight we got Jets, Dolphins. We could have another tie.
We could have another tie.
We got Jets, Dolphins, and we got Bengals, Broncos tonight. So whatever. It's just hard to know. Honestly, they don't look impressive, even as they are winning by 12. And so whatever. But this is a Saints team that just got demolished last week, and now they win by 12. The Eagles, I think, somewhat more impressive, although, my God, your man Baker made it a game.
Him in the second half when he's down
unbelievable.
Is must-watch TV. I mean, I am open to the idea that the Lions are not as bad as they looked week one, but I just think, like, at a certain point, I thought the Eagles roster coming into the year was really good, and I was quietly pretty confident about Buffalo coming into the year. And so far, I would be very surprised if either of those teams wasn't in the respective championship games.
Well, we saw in terms of the ranks of the undefeated, we saw the Colts go down.
Uh-huh.
We saw the Chargers go down.
Uh-huh. Herbert Twitter was pretty quiet yesterday, by the way. I was keeping tabs.
Do we have an update on Joe Alt? Like, that would be a nightmare.
Ankle. But I just saw, listen, if you want to blame the turf for Malik, I'm fine with that. Joe Alts was just an offensive lineman. They got rolled up on.
Yep.
Like that's not the turf. Like that's the problem of playing the position.
49ers, were they? They were. Yeah, they go down.
They did.
And so that was it. So those are the three. And so it leaves the Bills and the Eagles. Obviously, if you were, who are you more confident is going to be in the Super Bowl of those two? It's the Eagles over the Bills. Don't you think even you would say that? But that's largely because they're in the NFC as opposed to the AFC. It's not anything else. Although, and it's largely because the Chiefs, like right now, tell me two teams from the AFC who will be, and one of them has to be in the Super Bowl. What two are you picking?
I think I'm going Eagles and Rams.
No, from the AFC.
Oh, AFC. I think I'm right back to where I was. I think I'd go Bills and Chiefs.
Bills and Chiefs. Oh, God, I freaking hate the Chiefs.
Might get them at home this time.
Speaking of that Jacksonville 49ers game, Liam Cohen was absolutely right to go after Robert Saleh.
Believe it or not.
Okay, so you're going to have to fill me in.
What happened was Robert Saleh, during the week, had said that Liam Cohen and others from the Kyle Shanahan tree are just great at stealing signals. They're stealing signs. They're great at it. They're really great at it. He said, now what they do is legal, but they're really good at it. And he mentioned a bunch of others, right? And that was it. And so afterwards, Liam Cohen goes after Saleh and, among other things, says, keep your name out of your mouth. Keep my name out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's what happened there.
I'm fine with it. It also, I will say this, having kind of known the context, but not the exact like war of words, it did feel like Liam Cohen might be our new league leader in look at me moments.
That's what I, like, come on, man. He said it was legal. And I do wonder what it would have been like had they not won the game. Would he still have gone after him? Like, was it? I don't really know. But he said it's legal. This isn't a guy accusing anyone of cheating. And let's be honest, don't you think the level of scrutiny that these teams do of other teams and everything about them is probably to an extent we don't even fully appreciate. Like, they are 100% zeroing in on signals.
But I think everyone is.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Everyone is. Everyone's trying.
Correct.
They're good at it. That is, in fact, a compliment.
Correct. I would also say the common thread is usually the coaches that are probably a little bit more to the right on the IQ scale, they're probably better at it than some of the other coaches.
That's probably right. Let's go to the flip side real quick. One more. The Panthers have to make a change.
Believe it or not.
I still say I don't believe this. They don't have... A, their offensive line is not good. The weaponry...
That's 42!
I mean, again, it's a bad defense, but I'm telling you, it's like when you watch the Panthers, I don't sit there and go, Bryce is the problem. I'm just like, they just suck.
I mean head coach. Dave Canales now 6-15.
Again, that's not really a fair fight here.
I agree. It's a fair, they stink.
Like, the roster is just horrible.
They just stink.
They do nothing well.
In terms of teams that are really bad, I mean, you've got the Titans, Cam talking about how much they stink.
Yeah, I think he's actually going to get the first guy to get fired. Callahan.
I think that may be.
I think he's going to beat McDaniel.
You got the Titans who really stink.
Yep.
You got the Panthers who stink.
Yep. Saints really stink.
And the Saints really stink. In fact, the truth of the matter is, I take it back, everything I said about the quarterback. He just ran around.
I mean, it was
Spencer Rattler. He just ran around. Like, he did run for a lot of yards.
Yeah.
He ran for a lot of yards. But those teams all stink. All right, we got to get out of here. What's coming up next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming up next. We got Jason and John. Are you going to be joining them from FedEx Forum?
I'll be down at FedEx Forum.
Okay, so I
don't know if I'll be joining them. I'll be down at FedEx Forum. Gabe's going to be at FedEx Forum.
We have Gabe and George down at FedEx Forum all day for Media Day, so don't turn that dial.
Don't turn the dial.
Sarita.
Media Day all day here on 92.9. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for our work is done.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.